It is Locked On Jazz for the 20th of January. The Utah Jazz lost to the Houston Rockets last night following a disturbing trend that continues of losses they should not lose to. And we're going to discuss it. Plus, they blew another double-digit lead. And how big a deal is that? It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Bum 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 pow.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. As the Utah Jazz fall last night, making you probably not as happy, we will try to make you happy along the way because we are free and available on all platforms. Every day, including YouTube, where you can subscribe on YouTube as well if you'd like to. And just hit that little button right there, And then all you have to do is hit that little bell and it will notify you as well. But you know what the first thing we have to do today is? Happy Hat Day! Everyone's so depressed. We got to go to Happy Hat Day today. At least bring a little energy and a little juice. First off, thank you to everybody who stopped by yesterday. I have to get something. I appreciate it. I got to meet a bunch of you. A lot of people said hi. And this is like the coolest thing. Lacey made me this little cool little thing yesterday. So that's going to go up on the wall. I appreciate all of you. It was great. Yesterday was super fun. Nice messages for everybody about the 1,000th game. And then the Jazz, what did they do last night? What is wrong with them? What has gone wrong with our team? All right. So we got to discuss it. I will say this. I'm going to start with like a little bit of Pollyanna here to start. We've lost 6 of 7. Not good. We've lost 7 games against teams that are winning 36% or less of their games. That's really not good. We are blowing leads at what feels like an alarming rate, and I have some data to back that up, and that's not great either. The happy hat doesn't even want to stay on today. Like, that's really where we are, is that happy hat is not feeling like it should stay on. So it's not great. We've lost 6 of 7. One note on losing 6 of 7 before we catastrophically jump off bridges, and obviously the trade deadline's looming, so big decisions have to be made, is, you know, it started with 4 games without Rudy. Then it went to loss to the Lakers, where Donovan's evidently concussed in the second half of the game, and then last night's without Donovan. Okay, so we've lost 6 of 7. We haven't been right in any of them. We should win some of these games regardless if we're right or not, right? We've lost to Indiana twice. We've lost to San Antonio. We've lost to New Orleans. We've lost to Orlando. We've lost to Detroit. We've now lost to Houston. Like, that's not great. There was some aspects to last night's game that actually were problematic going in my preparation, and I actually mentioned them in the open of the broadcast last night, not that I wanted to be right on this on our 1,000th radio broadcast. But the two things about last night that actually made it difficult for us, I think, are this. One, they're the worst in the league at taking care of the ball. They're 30th in the league in taking care of the ball. They're 10th best shooting team in the league, and we don't force turnovers, and then we didn't force any turnovers at all last night. I think they had like 4 for most of the game. And so when we suddenly aren't forcing turnovers and they're getting shots, they're actually not bad. Like, so that was the first problem. And you saw that one coming because we are 29th in the league at forcing turnovers. They're 30th in the league at taking care of the ball. And I did wonder. The second thing is we actually always struggle against teams that don't have a dominant piece. Because part of, I think, what we do so well is in the regular season is shoot around preparation, game plan preparation. And if somebody has a primary offensive option or a primary offensive set, we have a tendency to really do a pretty good job of causing them some problems. And what happened last night, at least in my book, is they don't have those things. So when you look at them and you're preparing for the Rockets, and I actually asked Stephen Stylus about this before the game of whether it's hard because they don't have a pecking order. And he said, well, yes, but this is how we want to play. And you look at the Rockets coming in this game, and Christian Wood leads them by averaging. Let me see what happened. I just ended up in clutch time. I didn't want to end up in clutch time. Christian Wood leads them with, in a given night, with 13 shots a night. And then, you know, the next guy averages 11 shots, and the next guy averages 11 shots, and the next guy averages 10 shots, and you go through it, and all of a sudden what you have is you have a team that doesn't have one focus point, and we struggle. And frankly, that's a little bit of what happened to us last year in the playoffs, where we were playing really well, and then Kawhi Leonard got hurt, and they suddenly dispersed it at a rate, and we suddenly didn't have a single play to go get rid of it. They have Wood averages 13, Green 13 shots, Porter 12, Eric Gordon 10, DeSean Tate 10, Garrison Matthews 8. Like, that's actually harder for us sometimes in playing a team that way. With that said, you know, we had 115 defensive rating last night. We've played 45 games. That was our 37th worst defensive game. Like, we actually played the Lakers well defensively and the Nuggets well defensively. So the narrative that, well, everyone figured us out against the Rockets without Rudy, and now we can't defend again, isn't really true. Our game against Denver was our 12th best defensive game of the year, and our game against the Lakers was our 17th best defensive game. So last night we just didn't defend. Here's the stunner to me. Here's the biggest stunner to me. This is the number that jumps out to me more than anything else. This is where this team is just way off. Over the last 3 years, when we've had a 10-point lead in the second half of a game, we are 127-13 going into this season. When the Utah Jazz have had a 10-point lead over the last three seasons in the second half of a game, they're 127-13. Last 2 years, they were 80-7. 80-7. Okay? I didn't do just last year. I could, if you'd like me to. I'm not sure, you know, we were so good last year, we might not have lost a game that we led by 10 in the second half of a game in the regular season until we did it in the playoffs. So we were 127-13 for the last 3 years. We were 80-7 the last 2 years. We are, so far this year, when we were 47-2 last year when we had a double-digit lead in the second half of the game. This year, when we've had a double-digit lead in the second half of the game, we have lost more games than any other team in the NBA. We have lost 7 games this year in which we led by double digits in the second half. The last 2 years were 80-7. This year we're 26-7. No team in the NBA has lost as many double-digit leads as we have this year. Our ability to stay engaged in a game right now is just bad. Just bad. And Ron Boone said it beautifully on postcast last night. What's the strange thing that's going on here right now is not so much that this team blinks all the time, but that they can't get it back once they do. In last night's game, the Utah Jazz led with 7 minutes left in the third quarter by 12 points and then proceeded in the next 12 minutes to be outscored by 22 points to the Houston Rockets. We led 75-62, and in the next 12 minutes, they outscored us 36-14. Like, what is that? How does that happen? That, to me, is the most disturbing and alarming note about this team. And to me, like, something's way off, whether it's mental fortitude or fight or togetherness or what is going on. The fact they were 47-2 last year, 80-7 over the last 2 years, 127-13 when they had a 10-point lead in the second half of a game. And this year they're 26-7, having lost seven games. There's only been 90 losses in the whole season by teams with double-digit leads. We have seven of the 90. Indiana has six. Nobody else in the league has six. The Hawks, the Celtics, the Cavaliers, the Nuggets, the Lakers have five. We have seven. The Phoenix Suns are 30-0 when they have a second half lead that's double digits. All right, why did Eric Paschal not play? What's happened to us defensively? Were the Milwaukee Bucks like this last year? Seems like a really quantum jump right now. It is Locked On Jazz. Thanks very much for tuning in. I've got an interesting opportunity for you if you're a business person. Summit Capital is a local investment group made up of successful business operators. They actually invested in Locked On. We're great. Super partners, so I can attest to that. They are looking for one of three things. They're to provide capital for management seeking to buy out the owner of a business they work in. So what that means, it's really interesting. You work for a company, old family owns it, older owner. They don't have a succession plan in line. You know, been running their business. You'd love to take over their business. You know, you actually know how to do it better. You don't have the capital. Well, that's where Summit Capital comes in to help you out. They can come in, give you the capital, do a partnership with you. You now know that business, take it to new heights with their support. The owner of the company wins because they get bought out. You win because you have the capital to now own a company yourself. They're also looking for owners seeking to sell their businesses and entrepreneurs seeking capital to help grow their businesses. They're entrepreneurs themselves. They approach investing with the mind of an entrepreneur. Unlike private equity or venture capital firms, they don't have artificial timelines. They never once talked to us about when we're getting out for them. We went early, but they didn't ever ask once in the process. It was never asked in the process of when they're raising money. They just want to know the plan. They believed in the business and they gave us money. It was great. So you can, and they invest in all types of structures, including both debt and equity. You can contact Matt via voice or text. Though text is probably better. 801-796-2033. If you want to send an email, it's lockedonjazz@summitcaputah.com. That's lockedonjazz@summitcaputah.com. Or go to summitcaputah.com and click on the link. So that is Summit Capital. Interesting opportunity for you. And hopefully that opens a door for you that maybe would not have been opened otherwise. We'd be super excited for you if that does, because that could be life-changing. Today's show is also brought to you by betonline.ag. I don't even want to look. By the way, can we just all decide that Nikola Jokic is the MVP? The league is crazy right now. Joel Embiid, massive. Luka clicked in last night. He's playing way better. Dallas is winning a lot right now. Jokic with 40-point triple-doubles is unbelievable. And it's as though we all just want to decide somebody else is the MVP. And then, but now Jokic is just going to kind of remind us all that he is. The odds are Steph is at plus 125. Giannis at plus 325. Jokic at plus 550 and Embiid at plus 750. I can't bet on any of that, but am I all over that at betonline.ag if I were you. Locked On is your promo code, 50% welcome bonus right there. Jump all over that one. Other awards are out there as well. JB Bickerstaff, Coach of the Year, plus 300. Defensive Player of the Year, Draymond is at plus 115. Rudy's now plus 125. Giannis is at plus 450. John Morant's dominant for Coach of the Year. Most improved, Mobley's dominant for Rookie of the Year. Tyler Herro's dominant for sixth man. It's all at betonline.ag, promo code Locked On. All right. A lot of chat, a lot of people here. Hopefully a little therapy session. So defensively last night, the same five out system. And again, harder, I think, for us to deal with in some ways because they don't have a dominant player. The goal is to keep Rudy at the rim. So what happened last year in the playoffs is the fact that the Clippers were able to get Rudy out off the rim. We couldn't guard our yard in transition, frankly, or in half court. Guys drove to the basket. Rudy was pulled out. So now this year, what the Jazz are trying to do is keep Rudy at the rim. Rotate on the outside, get to their guys. They did a terrible job of rotating. We're not very long. We're very not very athletic. So I am a little concerned on whether or not, you know, we can actually execute this correctly. But in this sense, last night, some of this was right. They were 7 of 20 at the rim. That's what we wanted last night. We wanted to get them off. They're not a particularly good shooting team. They're not a, in theory, they were last night. And hey, if we allow wide open threes, they're 14th best shooting team in the league. They're attacking the tin a little bit. They go to the free throw line at a really high rate through the Rockets. So your strategy coming in is take away the rim. They're going to play five out with Jayshon Tate and everyone else. And Steven Silas said it before the game, keep them off the rim or not to have success at the rim. Keep Rudy near the rim. The disturbing thing, so the good news is that actually, in some extent, worked. They went 7 of 20 at the rim last night. Now, and that this is a team who's number one in the league at shooting at the rim. So this game plan was right. Well, the disturbing thing about it is the game plan's right, it doesn't work, is a little unnerving. But the Rockets shoot 39.9% of their shots at the rim, the most of any team in the NBA. They shoot 42% of their shots as threes. So we took away the rim. They only got 20% of their shots at the rim, 20 of their shots at the rim last night. They went 7 of 20. The whole game plan was keep Rudy close to the rim, rotate around the outside. They go an astronomical 19 of 39 from above the break on threes, making 49% in a make or miss league, and they get us. But some of those looks are so wide open. So the game plan, in a sense, works, or at least is executed relatively right from the coaching standpoint, which is keep Rudy at the rim, deny them their 40% of their shots at the rim, don't let them get to the basket because that's what they do. And the way people beat us is they pull Rudy out and they go drive to the basket all game on us. And so we actually have kind of figured out this beginning of this system where Rudy can stay at the rim. We're just not doing it very well. And then the really big concern, frankly, is that just, you know, Jordan Clarkson's small, Mike Conley's small, Boyan's not very athletic, Joe's not athletic. And so when we're rotating, by keeping Rudy in the rim, if they're at five out, we've got four guys guarding five, you should be able to do that, frankly. There's not very much space. When you go play five out around the perimeter, there's not very much space. So the Jazz should be able to do this correctly. Some of the defense is abominable. Some of the closeouts are bad. Some of the efforts inexcusable. Like at some point, like that's part of this issue. Let's not deny it. And you know, we're not connected right now. Let's just not like, I'm not going to like, we're not connected. You don't lose this many double digit leads being connected. Like, to me, that's a very esoteric term of like, what do you mean by that? But like, we're not connected. I don't think we have, like when the run starts against us right now, I don't think we have an internal answer of how are we stopping this run? I think we're doing it. I think our answer right now is I'm going to go make a play offensively. Is what I think it is. That's not a great answer. Okay, Eric Paschal doesn't play last night. That frustrates a lot of Jazz fans. Why? Quinn gave a really good answer. I'm going to dig into a bunch of Quinn stuff today for tomorrow's show. We're going to have a lot of Quinn tomorrow on the show because Quinn's made a bunch of super interesting comments recently that I think is kind of leading into what's going on with his team. Like he's on back-to-back nights, talked about how important Eric Paschal and Daniel House's energy is and how badly this team needs energy. But he also, then that would lead you to think, why didn't Eric Paschal play? Fair. On the other end, he talked about a great deal about how they really are struggling scoring five out. When the Jazz are at five out, this lineup we'd hope to have with Rudy Gay or Eric Paschal at center, we're not getting the space we need because we're not putting any pressure on the rim with a rolling big. We're not running the floor with a big. We're running to the three-point line, and therefore we're not getting the space and opportunities. And the data is clear. So when the Jazz have had Hassan Whiteside, Rudy Gobert, Udoka Azubuike off the floor. So in other words, you've had either Rudy Gay or Eric Paschal on the floor. We're minus 19.5. Minus 19.5. That's terrible. Our offense is in the 7th percentile of the whole league. We're a 101.0 offensively, and defensively, we're a 120.4. We're in the 4th percentile defensively. It's the worst grouping, basically combination of players in the league. Now, it's only 402 possessions, but at some point, if you're the coaching staff and you're going into this game looking at this, and you're suddenly saying to yourself, well, what are we going to do tonight against a team that takes 40% of their shots at the rim, 42% of their shots is threes, and then we're struggling offensively? It would be one thing if we went small. If we went small and could score at a high enough rate that we didn't have to worry about what was happening defensively, that'd be okay. But our real problem right now in our five-out lineups is we can't score. We're not getting pressure on the rim either in transition. We're not driving to get pressure in the rim and then kicking out. And we're not being able to set a pick and roll. So the idea last night was to see if Azubuike could do that. Some of this is experimenting, frankly, toward the end of the season. But without Donovan driving last night, you really only have Jordan who can just beat a guy one-on-one and get to the basket without Donovan, which so not having Donovan kind of accentuated that matchup last night. We're a beautiful piece of crystal. This is like my reoccurring theme. We're a beautiful piece of crystal when we're right. It's gorgeous, but we've got a bunch of little items that are going on that when our like Jenga block of our crystal, we have like a crystal Jenga block and it's gorgeous and this sun comes in from outside and illuminates all of it, and it looks beautiful. It's absolutely terrific. But if any little chips in it or any little pieces pulled out right now, it just... And then I think, you know, frankly, we saw the internal sniping last week. That wasn't great either. So, you know, I think that's a little bit of what we're seeing. But that's the reason you don't play Eric Paschal last night is because you're trying to find a way to play and continue to be good offensively in those lineups. And because, you know, I'll say it, like, hear it again, minus 19.4 per 100 possessions, 7th percentile offensively, 4th percentile defensively. That's not like ranking 7th in your class. That's actually finishing 7th out of 100. Now, with Azubuike on the floor last night, our offensive rating was a 91, so it didn't work. Like, we couldn't score. Our offensive rating last night with Rudy on the floor was a 120, and our offensive rating with Azubuike on the floor last night was a 91. Our defensive rating last night with anyone on our bench on the floor was a disaster. Jordan Clarkson's defensive rating last night was a 133. Daniel House was a 130. Azubuike was a 122. Rudy's was a 119. It wasn't much better. By the way, somehow Mike Conley was positive last night because he is every night. It's amazing. All right, I'm going to go to therapy session, take your questions, get some of your thoughts. We got some smart people on the line. I accidentally went live on Facebook and Twitter today, which I didn't mean to do, so we'll get more people to actually listen today. We usually only do that for postcasts. We don't do that for the regular show, but a mistake by me gets more people viewing the show today, so I hope you're enjoying. It is Locked On Jazz. Thanks very much for making us your first listen every single day. We bring you Locked On Jazz every single day, Monday through Friday, for you 30 minutes on your favorite team, hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan. And thank you very much for making us your first listen of the day. For your second listen, Locked On Now, a recap of what was a crazy night in the NBA hosted by the great Daniela Bruce today. Make sure you grab that either on Locked On NBA on the YouTube channel or available for you on Locked On Now on your podcast player. Great recap of the night. All right, let's get to the questions. Spencer Wixom had a good one coming in. It says, I fear the specialized Rudy Gobert funnel system funnel on D-Rim has led the team to not be able to adjust on offense and some bad habits on defense. Interesting question. Spencer's a pretty bright guy. You see his name on real estate all around town. So not being able to adjust on O. I mean, we're definitely Rudy dependent. I'm not sure. So what would we adjust on O to? I mean, the real issue we have is we're not running enough. Honestly, like, to me, that's and I don't know why we're not running. I mean, I got some theories, but it's hard to prove them, and I don't like to just throw accusations out there. But we're not getting in transition the way we should. And frankly, that's what the other options would be. Last night, we were in transition 14% of our possessions. We weren't very good in transition. The Lakers were in transition a lot. But we're just this has been early in the year. If you actually use clean the glass, you can see it. We've never been a high transition team. But in the middle of the year when we were winning, we were at least kind of on the margins of frequency of being in transition at some level of frequency. Here, actually, I'm going to show this to you on the screen. Let's see how I do this. Let's see if I can do this without sharing. This is probably not the greatest, like, quick. Here we go. Okay. You might have this on your screen. I have to go check. I think I have to turn it on. Yep, you should have this on your screen right now. So this is Cleaning the Glass, and Cleaning the Glass is a great site. I would strongly suggest subscribing if you're a fan. And what Cleaning the Glass does is puts everything in these beautiful little color codes. So here is our season starting right here. And this column right here is frequency. This is what you want to care about. Anything in the blue is not good. So if we're in the blue, we're in the bottom half of possessions in transition. So here we are to start the season, and we're not running at all. And in turn, we are, at this point, 4-7, 8-5. Okay? We have had two games in which we ran a lot. Sacramento, and then we lost against Miami running. Okay? This is our efficiency running. So we started the year, and not only did we not run, we were bad in transition, right? We were missing all those early threes. We weren't making those shots early in the season. Then if you watch this again, this middle column right here, that's frequency. We begin to see these orange squares appear. There's still some blues, but we see some orange squares appear, and we're winning almost all of our games now. If you look over here on the left, you can see the wins. And here's the orange, like, oh, look, we win. Orange, orange, we win. There's a blue in here. And then all of a sudden, we play San Antonio, and we stop. We don't run, and we lose. And then we play Minnesota, and we really don't run, but we win. And then we play Portland, and we really, really don't run at all. And all of a sudden, all the blue is back. And here, anytime you see blue in here, we're not running. And we didn't run. And so all of a sudden, if I do a quick math, 4 of 5, 6 of 8, 8 of 10. So in suddenly 8 of our last 10 games, in which we're 3 of 7, we're below 50% of running. We're actually below 40 percentile in running. So when we get out and run, now I've done it. Look at the W's over here. When we run at league or average or better, if we run 14% of our possessions are in transition, we've only lost 3 games all year. You ready? This is going to be really boring for a second. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. Okay, so we are 19 and 5 is what I see here. 19 and 5 when we run over 14% of our possessions, which puts us in the 40 percentile. 19 and 5. But when we don't run, look at all the L's. Now, running means you got to get stops defensively. You got to get out and make the effort. You got to do a bunch of stuff. But to Spencer's question, I think the issue is I don't know that it's that we don't adapt offensively. It's we just don't run enough. I think running, you have to, personally to me, running is super unselfish because you're sprinting the floor and you don't know you're going to get the ball. And you're sprinting the floor to get somebody else an opportunity. You're sprinting the floor to flatten the floor. Rudy ran the floor once and got a wide open corner three from Mike, I think it was, early in the game. Like, that's the way we got to play. Derek says, what sniping was I referring to last night? The whole press conferences with Rudy, Donovan, and Jordan wasn't great when Rudy came back. That whole little thing that went on. You know, we can get through that. Joshua says, we have to find a way to get Eric Gordon. I would think Ingles and Butler would get the job done. We also have to get rid of Clarkson. He's so bad. Okay. Eric Gordon is just a stud. Ingles and Butler, I think they're going to want a first-round pick. We just don't have a lot of first-round picks to be able to offer there. I cannot find a lot of outside solutions to this right now, if I'm being perfectly honest with you. This is a great question. We aren't giving effort. Isn't there a lot of this we need to blame the coaching staff for? So, in a sense, sure. I mean, that makes sense, right? Logically, that sentence feels right. But if your coaching staff has to coax your players into effort over an 82-game schedule, woo! Now, you know, I do think that one of the difficulties when you get really good, which we are, is that your guys are super talented and they don't have to play that hard to be good. And I've said this about this group for 2.5 years, is we got rid of all of our play hard guys. And the reason we got rid of our play hard guys is we needed guys that were better. But like Ricky Rubio is a beautiful human being. He's a wonderful player. If he doesn't play hard, he goes home because he can't shoot. Jay Crowder is a great guy, great team leader. We miss his soul a little bit. It's a little fake tough guy, but it's still a soul. If he doesn't play super hard, he doesn't stay in the league because he can't shoot. Why Quinn keeps talking about energy, like Daniel House and Eric Paschal might be really important for us rotation-wise because of the fact that they play so hard. And we need some of that. But like our guys are actually so good that they don't actually have to play hard to stay in the league. And they've all been paid, frankly. So it's an internal thing where we've got to plug in. Now, the flip side of this is if you go take a second and look at last year's like Milwaukee Bucks, and I'm not about to sit here and tell you that I think we're like, I'm not about to sit here and tell you after we're playing, lost 7 games like this and that, that we're the Milwaukee Bucks. But if I were to share my screen again with you today, and this is pretty small on your screen, so I'll have to build it up. And if you're listening on the podcast, I think it'll be fine. You know, if you look at the Bucks last year, they, like, I wonder internally, were they ever right? Right? They're 11-8. At one point, they lose to Charlotte, who was terrible last year, in New Orleans in back-to-back games. Like, I don't know, maybe Giannis or somebody was out, but like Donovan was out last night, right? This is, they don't have Drew Holiday for this. No, they had everyone. And they're losing to Charlotte, New Orleans. Then they win 4 straight. Then they lost 5 straight. They lost back-to-back games to the Raptors, who weren't good last year. They lost to Oklahoma City, was terrible. Like on February 18th last year, if we were to go back and listen to Locked On Bucks with Kane Pittman, they're 16-13. They've lost 5 in a row. Like the world has to be coming to an end in Milwaukee last year at that point. And they had everyone but Drew Holiday in that game. Okay, well, we've been missing guys every night. So, I mean, they lose to us in that stretch. And they don't have, I don't think they had Drew that night, but they had Giannis, they had Middleton, they had Brooke, they didn't have Drew. And we went and got him. 27 from Joe, 20, we didn't have Mike Conley. And then they kind of recover and they win 5 straight, and then they lose to Denver, and then they kind of got it going again, and they won 8 straight, and they were 29-14, which interestingly enough is, what was our record going in? 29-15. And then they lose to the Celtics and they lose to the Knicks, who aren't very good. And then they lose to the Clippers and they're 29-17 and the world's probably falling again. That Knicks team was only okay. They come back and win three games. They're 32-17. They suddenly lose to a Warrior team that wasn't very good, a Dallas team and a Charlotte team that wasn't very good. I mean, I've got a sneaking suspicion that if we're watching Milwaukee, if we go back and look at Milwaukee and they were missing a ton of guys by that point, that they're feeling the same way. And then they muddle through a little bit more and lose a bad game to the Hawks, and then all of a sudden they click in. They get to the end of the year here, they click in, and then they roll. And frankly, they clicked in a four-game series against Miami Heat, got lucky when Kevin Durant's foot was on the line, got lucky when they played Atlanta, and then got lucky when they got up a beat-up and they won a championship. Lucky doesn't mean you're not good. It just means you're fortunate. So part of me does kind of wonder if we were, you know, if we look back and said, you know, and I would guess that Chris's comment that we're not giving effort is exactly what you would have said about the Milwaukee Bucks in all those times. Maybe I need to have Kane Pittman on the show. So this is 100% not accurate. I just want to make sure we get a few things out of here and then we'll wrap up the show. How much of our issues are coaching staff? We never make real adjustments, or if we do, they're wrong adjustments. Okay, so maybe they're wrong. You can't actually have that both ways. You can't have that we don't make adjustments, but if we do make adjustments, they're wrong because then you're making adjustments. Okay, so that's just, right? Like, can't have both of those. The idea that we don't make adjustments is laughable. I honestly, here's the thing, and I wouldn't recognize them either if I wasn't at practice, didn't see the team, didn't know the team, didn't have the access I have. You just don't see them. I don't know what you're looking for as an adjustment or what you think the adjustment's supposed to be. They're making a ton of adjustments all the time. Okay? This team has no heart, mentally soft. The Jazz wasn't to compare them to Milwaukee. The difference from Milwaukee is that they went out and got P.J. Tucker, who had brought great soul and fruit to their team. Jazz don't have P.J. Tucker. Okay? Well, they didn't have P.J. Tucker at this point of the season either. So maybe that's it. We got to bring in some heart and soul. I don't know what that is. The real issue, honestly, is we are trying every defensive scheme imaginable to cover up the fact that our guys can't guard. Until our guys can guard, Giannis, Middleton, Drew, Brooke, those guys can all guard. We got to be able to guard. Right now, that's the killer. Like, we've put in an entire defensive system, changing it up to keep Rudy near the rim. It worked, but we were bad on rotations. We pull Rudy out of the middle, we're bad at guarding our yard. We got to guard. We got to get back. And the reason we're losing all these leads is because we can't guard. That's the issue. All right, Locked On Jazz. I don't know if that was a good therapy session or not. It's probably a little truthful. Talk to you soon. Happy hat. Might have worked, might not have. Have a great day. Go listen to Locked On Now. It's your second listen of the day. Thanks for making us the first listen. We'll be back tomorrow.